At last, the day had arrived for me to join my biological brother Jonathan and family in putting my birth mother Belle to rest. I wasn't sure what all to expect or how I would feel as we spent the day surrounded by family, some of whom would not know who I was, some of whom I had met once almost 25 years before on my first visit to Louisiana, and all of them mourning the loss of the person who had given me life, even while knowing that the task of raising me would fall to a different set of parents. What I did know was that the day would be full of emotions and full of learning about Belle, about my biological family, and about myself. The day proved to be everything I had hoped, and more. I'm Kelly, and this is Do You Know Your Real Mom? Season 1, Episode 9, Saturday, Peace and Rainbows. The day began with a relaxed tone. Leanne and Jonathan had prepped everything so well that there was very little to do to prepare for family to arrive that afternoon, outside of chopping some fruits and veggies and taste-testing Jonathan's delicious sangria. We drank coffee on the porch as I watched a mama egret and her baby explore the dock. Michael, Jonathan, and I wandered down to the dock to check out the view and the place where we would scatter Belle's ashes that evening. Alexis swung in the big wooden swing overlooking the lake, while I swung in the rope net swing on the dock, trying not to drop my flip-flops into the water below. Right about noon, a thunderstorm started to roll in. Michael and I sat out on the covered porch and enjoyed the sights, sounds, and smells of the pouring rain. At home, we love to sit out in our pergola when it is raining, and since California is currently experiencing a mega drought, it was especially enjoyable. While the rain was pouring down, the first family members arrived. Used to the fast movement of southern storms, they opted to remain in the vehicle until the deluge had passed. I took the opportunity to get changed and ready. I came back out and took a deep breath. The first family I greeted was Belle's cousin Al and wife Anne. Al asked me who I was, and I faltered, finally remembering my predetermined answer of, "I'm Jonathan's sister." But that did not fully satisfy Al's kind curiosity, so I followed up with that I was Belle's daughter, who was adopted. Al's next question? "Well, what does that make you to me?" Seeking the connection that we as humans crave. This launched an apparently age-old discussion of cousins and second cousins, and that apparently Al never accepted that any family member could be considered once or twice removed, as no one is removed from my family. What a perfect thing to say. Al stuck by Michael and I, going into storytelling mode, his gentle manner almost forcing me to relax and feel comfortable. Next, my Aunt Jane approached me. I immediately recognized her, as we had met on my first visit and are connected on social media. Her son lives close to my hometown, so we had also visited on one other occasion. Jane did not need to ask me who I was. She walked directly up to me, took my face in her hands, and looked deeply into my eyes for a long time, simply saying, "Kelly." I know that Jane was very close to Belle, a protective older sister over the years, and with the way she held me, I had to imagine how much of the little sister she had lost she was now seeing in me. There was a deep love both in her expression and touch, a connection that was almost startling. We hugged and I simply said, "I remember you." Sometimes I think that souls can remember each other, recognize a familiar energy, like when we meet someone and simply know that they will play a role in our life. I have had that experience a handful of times, and they have always manifested to be true. That was my feeling with Jane in that moment. She was familiar to my heart, and as the day progressed, I felt a kindredness, like I was seeing a future aspect of myself. Family arrived quickly after that. I got to meet Leanne's sisters and adorable nephew. And did I mention that with family came food? The counter was quickly covered with all kinds of delicious dishes, so naturally I found a seat on one of the high stools. I chatted with some cousins, two of which were in social work and healthcare, nurturing fields similar to my choice of education. Our perspectives and personalities were similar, as they identified our commonality of choosing occupations where we serve and nurture others. The day had a great flow of conversation and connection. From time to time, I would step out onto the porch to take some space and enjoy the view, then rejoining the family inside. I thrive in the outdoors, so having that space was welcomed. Jonathan kept checking in with me, and I assured him that the day was perfect. I was out on the porch with Michael when Jonathan came out with some photos provided by Belle's sister, Mickey, one of the siblings closest in age to Belle, who I had not gotten to meet on my previous visit. It became very clear through the photos that the youngest three siblings, Belle, Mickey, and their brother, had all been extremely close in more than just age. Looking through the photos gave me more context of Belle. I got to glimpse moments of her life, from childhood to an incredible photo shoot with all of the sisters before Annie left the earth. It was a picture from this photo shoot that made both Michael and I catch our breath. In all of the photos, the sisters are beautiful, with gorgeous costumey outfits and laughing. But the photo that struck us was Belle alone. This is going to sound odd unless you know me well. In her individual photo, Belle was crossing her eyes with a goofy expression I have made a million times before in photos. While I may not have seen the similarities in other posed photos, that candid photo screamed with a familiarity that was undeniable. There was one other photo that struck me, not in the moment, but after I had returned home and was reviewing my photos from the trip. This photo is of Belle and Jonathan when he was around 4 or 5 years old, I would say. While in Louisiana viewing the photo, I saw some resemblance between Belle and I. When I reviewed the photo at home, I realized there was more of a resemblance than I had first noticed. However, it was not with Belle, it was with young Jonathan. Looking at him in that photo was like looking at the little boy version of myself at that age. I mentioned in an earlier episode that I have always been fascinated by siblings that are like salt and pepper shaker sets of one another, and I had no idea that Jonathan and I fully fit that description, both in childhood, and I am discovering more and more in our adult life, a connection that continues to develop since the trip. After going through the photos, we joined family inside, and the connection deepened with the rest of the family. At one point, Anne came over to me specifically to check in, giving me a hug and making sure I wasn't overwhelmed, a person who I had just met that day. People wandered in and out, but eventually a group of us settled in and the storytelling began. Being the new family member in the scene, it gave others the platform to speak about Belle, with me almost serving as the audience. The beauty came in several levels. One, I got to hear stories of Belle, who she was and how she had grown up. This was one of my hopes in embarking on this journey. Another beauty was the simple magic of family sharing space and stories. With my family shifting after the fire, in addition to generational shifts, I rarely get the opportunity to get to be around older relatives, especially those of my grandparents and older aunts and uncles' ages. Cousin Al and Aunt Jane's husband, Jim, were so fun to hear as they bantered back and forth regarding a $1.18 bet on NASCAR, which apparently warranted 5 a.m. texts. Their heckling, chuckles, and obvious closeness made the environment warm and comforting. As stories turned to Belle, I learned more about her carefree spirit and attitude of embracing life as it came. I admired the stories of not worrying about yesterday. How many of us need to let go of things that have happened in the past? I know I have held on to past judgments of myself and have since tried to release those concerns in the spirit of Belle. For me, the most magical moments happened at a time that others likely didn't even notice. We were hearing about Jonathan and family cleaning out Belle's apartment. The first comment was regarding all of Belle's coloring books. Michael and I met eyes, since coloring is an activity I enjoy and find incredibly soothing. When the COVID-19 pandemic hit, I specifically ordered gel pens and adult coloring books. Next, someone mentioned Belle knitting. All of a sudden, fireworks went off in my brain. a memory forgotten since the fire exploded to the surface. Despite the countless times that I have mentally walked through our home we lost, whether for insurance or personal reasons, recalling items in every closet or container, there was one I had forgotten, which burst into my mind at that moment. I had remembered the first letters from Belle that I told you about. I had remembered the photos from our first trip to Louisiana, and I had remembered the quilt from my biological grandmother. I had remembered the dragonfly stepping stone from my biological aunt, and I had remembered the Louisiana memorabilia sent to me by Belle and some purchased by Michael and I on my first trip. But I had forgotten something that in that moment hit me so hard it was almost physical. Belle knitting. In that moment, the image flashed in my head of a scarf that had still been hanging in the closet when we lost our home in the campfire that had destroyed our town and changed our lives forever. An image of an item Belle had knitted for me many years before. That item, a scarf, made from rainbow thread, the colors mirroring those in the Worry Stone I had purchased in a store in New Orleans at the beginning of my trip. A stone I had in my pocket at that moment. A stone I had no idea connected my overall experience at the moment I had purchased it. Louisiana magic was in full force as I grasped the stone in my hand and smiled at the events that had been lined up outside of anything I could ever try to control. How can you explain that moment, that surreal feeling? I can't, but this entire podcast is my best attempt. It's my chance to convey the connections that can exist over time, space, and even death, whether we understand them or not. And my connection to Jonathan that day was equally as powerful. He would be telling a story that was entirely his, and my eyes would fill with tears. I know that while I had not lived his experiences, I was connected to them. I saw him look to me for partnership and understanding, and I got to be there for him simply by being his little sister. There was nothing I had to do or say. It was done merely with my being there with him as we said goodbye to our mother. And then it was time to really say goodbye. We all proceeded down to the boat dock, Jonathan carrying Belle's ashes. It was still raining. That's a big thing I remember. Looking out at the water and raindrops as family gave their blessings. Then the moment came to let her go, to release Belle into the waters of Toledo Bend, the waters she had treasured so much during her life. Family all stepped forward and said their goodbyes, while I held back. Finally, I was ready and approached Jonathan. "Take as much as you want," he encouraged me, but I answered, "Just a pinch." Just a pinch of her was what I know I am. Just a pinch of the complex woman she was. Just a pinch of who I am. I took my pinch of ashes and went to a space separate from others to say goodbye. I didn't even realize that I still held my rainbow worry stone in my left hand and Belle's ashes in my right. I whispered thank you as I kissed the stone and released the ashes into the water. The water, a staple that would forever connect Belle and I. After the ashes were scattered, family retreated back to the lake house, but Jonathan and I remained on the dock. This was the most magical moment of all. I told you that it had been raining and storming. But at that moment, the waters of Toledo Bend laid down and were peaceful. Toledo Bend and Belle were at rest. Jonathan and I reflected in the magic of the moment, staying on the end of the dock for quite some time. He told me how glad he was that I had lived the life that I had. I told him how grateful I was that we had reconnected. There's no other way to describe our connection in that moment other than that we were each the person the other one needed. I was his little sister and he was my big brother, grieving a loss that we couldn't even grasp yet. Belle had brought us so closely together, the biggest magic yet. And our closeness has continued to grow, but that's enough for today. I'll tell you more next time on Do You Know Your Real Mom?